This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9, the business station. 7:36 right now. It's Friday, the 22nd of April. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Julian Ng and Sharad Kutan here with me to take a look at some of the biggest business news of the day. Mitsubishi Motors has admitted it manipulated mileage test data for its mini cars sold in Japan, and this resulted in 620,000 vehicles produced in the past 3 years getting labeled more fuel efficient than they actually are.
This is really bad because it's coming after how Volkswagen also cheated on their emission standards. I mean, both the companies actually say that a lot of it is due to the extremely variable conditions in testing. But it is undeniable that these companies went out of their way to attract sales by cheating on emission standards.
I have to ask, though. Is it the lying that people are more upset about, or is it the eco-credentials? Because the test overstated the fuel efficiency by 5 to 10%. So are we mad as eco-warriors, or are we mad as consumers?
Well, you know, I mean,
I think it's both, isn't it?
Yeah, because anytime somebody makes a claim about a product, you know, whether it's it's eco-friendly or it's Sharia compliant or it's fair trade, you expect that product to be held to a higher standard, right? Because that's exactly what you're paying a premium for, precisely those things, and you're saying, okay, I don't mind paying more. Precisely because it's giving something back to society, for instance, or to God's plan in the instance of Sharia compliance. but the point is, yes, of course you'd be hurt because you've been defrauded, right? And this is not the first time. I mean, constant consumer scandals. I mean, what about that olive oil scandal, you know? Or in fact, that horse meat was being, you know, being used in so much of meat products.
Right. Sometimes horse meat's healthier than, the normal beef and chicken that we eat. But that's another matter altogether. I just to answer your question, Melissa, whether we are eco-warriors. I remember I wrote a college essay, and this is a very long time ago, obviously.
During the time of the Cold War,
my lecturer's notes, she said that my proposal of a scenario that consumers would punish polluters as being very utopic. But here we are today. Consumers are actually punishing people who lie about how they save the environment. They are falling all over the car companies are falling all over themselves, telling the world that they are green, right? But when in actual fact they're not, and they are being punished for that, because now Volkswagen in the US is being paid, is being forced to pay car buyers $5,000 for that sin that they committed. $5,000 is really quite a lot of money. Actually, extremely good returns for the cost of your car.
I mean, I think what we want is a situation where regulators monitor and punish, and the market does so as well. I think that will be an ideal situation. But that requires, especially for the consumers, full knowledge, and perhaps we need a media that investigates as well for that to come out.
Did the market punish Mitsubishi for this?
Definitely. It was down 15% in market trading yesterday. But actually, it's a pretty small company compared to the other players like Toyota and Honda.
I have to just go back to that comparison of horse meat and olive oil. I have to say, that's not really an apples-to-apples comparison, right? But VW and Mitsubishi, that is an apples-to-apples comparison. I mean, which do you think was worse? I remember reading in the first, the early days of Dieselgate, apparently there were allegations that all the car makers were doing this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we have come to a point right now, and of course we will cover Maxis and their debacle later, but consumers have a lot of power by going online.
Yeah, for sure. Now, 7:40 at the moment, Australian banks have promised unprecedented reforms to protect consumers and boost transparency following revelations of misconduct. So the package includes reviewing sales commissions, supporting whistleblower employees, and also blacklisting individuals for poor conduct. This is according to the Australian Bankers Association.
opposition lawmakers and as well as those from the government are fighting about this ahead of the federal election on the 2nd of July. I think this is really serious because investors have been duped into buying high-risk products by agents forging their signatures, and some insurance companies have wrongly collected insurance cover for 10,000 insurance customers. So these are the kind of scandals that are plaguing the investors and people buying into financial products in Australia. But I think this is also pretty close to home, where today we, I think, don't have enough standards for the sale of financial products. That's a lot of conflict in the sale of financial products here in Malaysia, because many of these products are sold through incentivization, through sales commissions. Agents might be more concerned about their rice bowl than the actual financial well-being of their customers.
I mean, one of the things about consumer protection is that you need well-resourced institutions to do the monitoring, right? I mean, it's a game of catch-up continually for regulators and for those doing monitoring, because those producing the products are always one step ahead of the curve, you know, producing these new things. And when it comes to financial services, I'm sure the issue, there's a serious issue of complexity. They become increasingly complex products, whereas with some of the other, consumables, maybe they're much more simple in their structure, right? It has to do with what
which is why you have different categories for investors. In Malaysia, they have what is defined as a sophisticated investor who has assets above a certain size. But for the rest of us, the masses, we need to be protected. We need to be told that, hey, you shouldn't, you're paying 5% in sales commission for this unit trust product and 1.5 to 2% a year to manage these products, when long-term returns are just 8 to 10% per annum. This is a very substantial price you're paying for your financial products. Are you okay with that? It's like putting a label on cigarette boxes, right? If you want to smoke, you're going to get cancer. At least put that on the box. But there is no such labeling for financial products over here.
But I mean, again, are we comparing the financial industry to the tobacco industry? I don't think the pain is quite, equal, quite the same.
Well, I think what Julian is saying, though, is the question of whether there's forewarning for the consumer if the consequences are fully spelt out in the attempt to sell these products.
Right, okay.
You should know what you're getting into.
Labeling rather than regulation. Is that what you're saying?
Both. A little bit of both, because you don't want to intervene in the commercial decisions of corporations, but you must have some protective regulation so that consumers can get can know what they get into. If you picked up a box of cigarette and you smoke, you're going to get cancer. But as an investor, do you know if you buy into financial products whether there are cheaper alternatives and whether how it affects your long-term returns?
You don't.
Right? We don't today. A lot of people don't in Malaysia.
Well, speaking of the financial industry, zooming into HSBC, they will hold their annual meeting in London later today, and it's likely that the bank will face a host of different issues from investors, things like pressure about pay and dividends, and also their expansion into China, as well as succession planning. 7:44 right now, and we'll discuss more business news after this on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.